He's just staring blankly.
Again, if I didn't know him better, I'd imagine that he managed to buy a bag or something in a parking lot.
Meaning to life? I can see the space-time continuum from here.
Can you?
I can.
How many? Get
to the DeLorean, Jordan.
How many fingers am I holding up, Jordan?
6.
42. 987. That doesn't make sense. It's 9,877.
1 week in Perth without me.
2 weeks.
1 week without me, and you're just a broken, broken shell of a man. Look at you.
So I spent too long with me, and I've been trashing him the whole time.
If you spend too long in the presence of Mitchell, your IQ just plummets rapidly down.
That was already pretty low.
Much like people's standards when they listen to this podcast for audio entertainment. Welcome to the show. This is the Optional Extra podcast. It worked!
Absolutely wrecked.
I'm Brian, as always, hosting this thing. Joining me from Perth, where I escaped, is Mitch.
Hello, you prisoner who escaped.
And still,
and one that has not escaped.
That's
yet, because I'm going to say myself, it's me, Jordan.
Unfortunately.
See, what you just did was incredibly narcissistic. It's like, no, I will be my own intro.
I get my
damn
own
straight
intro.
I will be.
He doesn't pick it for me. I pick my own. I get my own intro. Suck it.
So last week we went a whole segment without letting Jordan declare his dare. As the guest, he gets to throw a dare in there. But we may have recorded a chunk of a previous episode where Jordan failed horribly and disrupted the entire thing with his dare. So we're going to build a dare out of that. So Mitch and I, hey, I'm being transparent. So Mitch and I have established a dare where if someone ruins or screws up the show to the point where we actually have to stop recording, instead what's going to happen is we're going to pick an embarrassing song that they have to sing, and it's all staying in.
Oh yeah.
Did you want to use an example on me to begin?
No.
Just to get it swing?
I don't want to hear you sing.
They can expect the unexpected, the music that comes.
Very well. So I'll leave my singing talent to later.
Let's just roll straight into this. First thing on the docket, conversation we were having last weekend was whether games can be too difficult to actually be enjoyed. Because the
Indeed.
Two people over in the other state here are huge Dark Souls / Bloodborne / whatever fans. Demon
I love
Souls.
Whatever.
Whereas,
none of us have played Demon's Souls.
Oh, really? See, you're not even. See, if you played Demon's Souls, you'd be a Souls hipster.
Well,
see, at least we both have a soul. You're just a cold, hard man with a beard.
What's with the beard thing?
Cold hearted is what you were trying to say?
That's cold. What I said.
What did you hear? Did he derail
I just
us
heard,
already?
I just heard cold, hard. I was like, that doesn't make sense unless you mean like.
Cold.
Cold. I was like, frozen? Hard. Moving on.
Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've just cut out like 3 minutes of laughing there. I clearly derailed that, so someone
well,
please throw a song. Let's do this dare.
It's Barbie Girl, you sing it.
Barbie Girl. Barbie Girl by Aqua, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I can't think of the. What kind of voice? It's like high pitched squeal almost.
Yeah, I thought you read it with the most Australian voice possible.
Oh, just a bit of. I'm a Barbie Girl. In a Barbie world, less fantastic, when you're plastic. What is it? You can comb my hair, something or other, barbecue. There you go.
Yeah, mate.
Okay.
I really want to hear that song redone to be about a barbecue.
I'm sure there's a parody out there somewhere.
I'm pretty sure the song itself is almost a parody, isn't it?
Yes, and there was some court case and shit about it, I don't remember.
Anywho.
Dark Souls.
So Dark Souls, those kind of games, you guys are big fans of them. They took
yep.
off. They're starting to influence everything that you could imagine, right up to Assassin's Creed and Zelda.
Yep.
The problem is when someone's looking at it and trying to get into the game, they can be pun not intended soul crushing.
Soul crushing. Love it. Yes, they can be. Because that's kind of the point, I suppose.
So that yeah, there's the mentality of the get good. I'm not enjoying this game. Well, clearly you just need to grind through it more until
yeah,
you get
good.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
See, there's a problem. With certain games like Dark Souls, there's certain points in the game that will make or break a player. Generally, it's at that point people will either give up and cry in a corner or throw their controller away and try again later
or
on.
Or do both, because I did both.
Or you could just give up and go outside like I did, but alright, fine.
You can realize how good this series is.
Sorry, yeah, this is a video game centric podcast. There is no such thing as outside.
What
is
it? Do you want me to take my console outside with me and try it in a different environment to try to get past this spot? That's a good idea.
Go play in the rain where you belong. What was I going to say? I was going to say something. Okay, so Dark Souls, like games like in this era of modern games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Games have gotten far easier, and like they're just getting easier and easier. These games stand out as being difficult for a reason. There's like that is the whole point to them. Like the difficulty, as well as all the mechanics, are kind of interwoven to kind of create an experience of an era that is pretty much gone. There's not as many difficult games as there used to be. Back in the day, they were far harder than they are now.
The problem I'm seeing is we're getting clones of those games that seem to misunderstand that aspect. They instead of creating what is a balanced difficult game, they just create a needlessly difficult game.
Yeah, it's tough but fair. That's what I would call Dark Souls. But you really, as Jordan was saying, there is like a point where you either are in or you're out in all these games.
And I 100% reached that point.
I reached it multiple times.
See, there was a lot of old platforming games that had that same analysis. You get to a certain level, if you couldn't pass it, you either gave up or you kept trying.
It's pretty much it. Like, Crash 1 is what recently released. I've experienced it being, like, it's too hard for me to get into, and I like Dark Souls and stuff. It's just a very different kind of... Platforming and, like, Dark Souls are very different games, but it does make you realise...
Go on, sir.
It does make you realise that difficulty can really impact the game. Because, like, Crash 2 and 3 are, from my experience, from just playing it, are easier. And I've actually enjoyed those far more than Crash 1, which is just difficult. And I guess it's because it's the first game. But yeah, there's a lot of games where difficulty and all the titles are really, like... If you go back to it, there's just... Some are just so hard to get into because, obviously, they're so hard now. Whereas, like, now we've got save points, checkpoints, all that. Back in the day, they didn't. So you think of, like, old arcade games and all that.
You had to remember passwords to save to a certain point to continue.
Well, that wasn't a difficulty thing. That was actually because they didn't have technical. Writable memory.
And that was technical. But these days, like, if you want to make... Difficult games aren't as common because they don't need to be. Games want to be as accessible as possible. So it's almost like difficulty is a... coming more of a niche. Like, of course you've got difficulty in games to make it harder for yourself, but that's an option.
However, on the other hand, you've got games that have so many different difficulty levels, it, you know, gives the player an option of how hard they want the experience to be.
This is what I was going to ask, because this was an argument that burned on Reddit and so on a while back, was people saying Dark Souls should have an easy mode to make it more accessible, and people freaking out at this idea.
Yeah, I don't think it should, because the Dark Souls experience is tailored around the difficulty of trying to be... It is tough, but there's never really anything where, like, this is not humanly possible for me to succeed in.
Unlike other games where you die and you have to try again, this game's one that you die, learn what you did wrong, and try again.
Well, I think every game you learn what you did wrong and try again.
Yeah, but this one makes it so you know to not make that mistake again, because you will be punished for it.
And granted, that sounds like not only a good thing to learn in gaming, but just a general good development thing for people. I think because our generation is the best, obviously, and we did grow up on the hard games. I think it did actually teach you some persistence that people need. But at the same time, would you not rather that someone like me, who really, let's be honest, can't be bothered dedicating the 50, 80 hours to get good enough at Dark Souls to finish it, wouldn't you rather I could burn through it in 20 on a lower level so I could talk to you about it?
Nonsense.
It's kind of like... explain it this way. Dark Souls is an exclusive club.
You have to get good to talk about it.
Unfortunately, that is just the way the game works. An easy mode would kind of... contradict.
It would break the game.
It would in a way, but like the game is built so it starts easy and then ramps up. So it's kind of like teaching you throughout is the whole point.
See, the problem is there's a lot of games that have tried to recreate Dark Souls with that difficulty spike, but that's where they go wrong. There was a recent game called The Surge. It had really great gameplay mechanics, but the difficulty of it was scaled way high throughout the whole game. That it wasn't fun anymore.
Have you played The Surge?
I haven't, but I've... Ignore that point.
It's a valid point, though. It's like I was saying earlier. There are a lot of clones that seem to misunderstand the idea of a difficulty curve. And that's a classic thing in most games. They're meant to go up. But now in most AAA titles...
We're AAA now!
You'll notice that difficulty curve is so shallow that it only really peaks right at the end. And yeah, Dark Souls was dared enough to shift it back.
Yeah, because in like AAA games like that, like really when you're selecting a higher difficulty, all you're really changing is health and damage meters.
Or AI really, if you're lucky.
Or if you're really
they
lucky.
They see you before you even see them.
They'd have to force it to be kind of harder in that way, which probably doesn't help the experience. I'd say Dark Souls is made because the experience is meant to be difficult. There's all these other games that are the experience themselves is for a different purpose, for a story or whatever. Dark Souls' point is mainly to enjoy the experience and just
to test you,
climb the mountain, see how far you can go.
Games can be too hard, but when it's balanced correctly, it's memorable.
It makes a good experience sometimes if it's tailored to that difficulty. Yeah.
So it's interesting though, Jordan made reference to the Surge there, which he didn't purchase based on a review, or maybe many reviews. Hopefully, many reviews.
Many reviews it was.
Alright. But we played a game a few episodes back where we looked at Metacritic reviews of movies and games, and the user reviews, which is just a goldmine of idiotic comedy. But it is nothing compared to what you get in Steam reviews. Absolutely nothing. So, we're going to play a little game here. I've got some of the best Steam reviews I could find. I'm going to go through these, read them out. Yep. You guys buzz in and tell me which game you think I'm describing. So, I've got a few...
Tough.
I've got a few for the game, so I'll go through them and you buzz in as soon as you can, right? Alright, number one. Even a locomotive from the 19th century has a better engine than this. Wish I could make a zombie game without actually creating a zombie game. Can't wait for my grandchildren. Yeah, it's DayZ.
I heard bad engine. I'm thinking Bohemia.
Yeah. The other
one. I thought you meant literally a car. I'm thinking Forza.
Don't worry, I'm on it.
Alright, number two. It's like Far Cry and Mirror's Edge got married and then later had a divorce, and Mirror's Edge married Dead Island. They had a baby, but the baby actually belonged to Far Cry. And Mirror's Edge knew that, but Dead Island was all like, what the hell is this? Where are the zombies? And then they had another baby, but this one belonged to Dead Island, and Dead Island find out that Mirror's Edge was lying to him, so Dead Island shot his wife and then himself. So afterwards, Far Cry's kid and the Dead Island's kids had incest and popped out this game. So yeah, this game is pretty good.
Sounds like a reality TV show to me, but...
It's the weirdest, darkest review I've ever read ever.
That lost me straight off.
Oh, it's Dying Light.
It is indeed Dying Light.
Called it. I was thinking Dead Island and Mirror's Edge. I'm like, what has that?
All right, obviously I'm modifying...
That sounds delightful.
Obviously I'm modifying them and saying this game as opposed to the name. All right, number three.
Yeah.
This one's easier. Created my character, went and brought a mask, robbed a store with a pistol that had no ammo, store clerk noticed the gun was empty
GTA
and shot 5. Me several times, then I went home and played GTA. Yeah. Alright, last one.
Expensive hospital visit before you go play GTA.
Hold on, that's 2-1, so we'll do two more. This game is like porn. You'd expect a story, but it doesn't really matter. It's like Michael Bay Spider-Man. No. No. It's like Michael Bay asked Spider-Man to train James Bond.
I mean, it's not the worst idea.
Last one. And apologies to anyone listening. Best Allahu Akbar simulator ever.
Insurgency?
No, close. Jordan?
Saints Row?
No, it's Just Cause 3.
Saints Row?
Flight Simulator X.
Just Cause 3.
Just Cause 3.
I'm lucky no one hit my Flight Simulator joke.
Alright, so Mitchell's won this, but we'll do the last one, because I think this is brilliant. Last one. a love story about four men and their inability to buy a drill that works properly.
Ah, oh, Payday 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done the drill.
The one other bit they had that was good was buy the DLC to unlock this review.
Sounds like Payday 2 in a nutshell.
So, if you're ever bored, ladies and gentlemen, I highly recommend Steam reviews. There are some absolutely brilliant little stories people write out. Like, full troll-level stories, and it's brilliant. There's only been a couple of games I ever really felt like I wanted to write a full, long-level troll review for. And one of them was Halo 5. I think everyone listening to this, unless they've never met me, which is awesome, we actually got a listener, would know that I'm a huge Halo fan and was horribly disappointed by Halo 5, and I'm pretty sure Mitch mirrors my opinion exactly.
Oh yeah, I remember you wouldn't even beat Halo 5 because you...
I just couldn't.
The last bit co-op. We did the last bit co-op because you're like, I can't do this. It's like, God help.
Just come and make this fun for me, please.
Now, that is a first.
You just need to get good.
No, I could finish it gameplay-wise, but I had absolutely no reason to. Jordan, as you've probably picked up, actually quite liked the game.
I enjoyed the game a lot more than both of you.
Definitely. You enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's it. You enjoyed it. So, yep. Let's spiral this out into a little segment we like to call Devil's Advocate. So normally, one of us will take up a defensive stance or an attack stance on some kind of topic, even if it's not actually an opinion they hold. Today, we all genuinely hold these opinions. So,
I've got my shield at the ready.
Jordan.
To defend the shit out of this game.
Before we
defend the shit game.
Before we bring our guns to bear, what was so great about Halo 5? What did you actually enjoy in it?
Well, for one, if you're going to go straight into multiplayer,
sure.
It was a very co-op focused campaign.
Yep.
Except for the lack of split screen, but continue.
Except for the lack of split screen, which everyone hated, everything else was based around playing with others, because you, instead of being by yourself in every situation, you'd have a group of four Spartans, three including yourself, which would tackle that challenge.
Which was an excellent premise when first presented, but in execution had no split screen, thus negating most of Halo's multiplayer campaign.
The thing Halo has had in it from the get-go.
The three AI members with you were beyond idiotic. And
they could also revive you.
They could revive you, but they never did.
No, they didn't. You're just sitting there waiting. Get over here.
The presence of them and the revive mechanic meant that the campaign became the easiest thing ever. It was basically impossible to lose, provided you could actually convince one of them to revive you, and you just used them as near-invincible cannon fodder. There's no better way to pull me...
killing anything.
Oh, no, they couldn't kill anything.
However, you say as near-invincible cannon fodder, but wasn't that similar in previous games, when you were the Arbiter and you had your pals that tagged along with you that I can't remember
the name? They didn't tag along with you unless you had two other people.
There was a particular level in Halo 2... where you could stand in a watchtower and let all of your enemies kill them for you.
All your allies kill them for you.
Yeah.
Sure, but that wasn't every campaign mission in every moment.
There was one moment in one mission.
And, more to the point, I finally get to play alongside Blue Team. They are like the known Spartans of the whole story. First time ever we've seen them in a game. For about 4 minutes, and they were even somehow dumber than... what is it, Osiris team? Doesn't matter.
Team Osiris.
They were somehow more idiotic.
I have to
it
admit
just
that
ruined it.
When the game was originally being promoted, that you'd think advertised, marketed, whatever you want to call it, that you'd get a lot more about the Master Chief. However, the actual game itself is more based around Team Osiris hunting him down. That doing that though,
but even then, it's really not.
You're more learning about their story than the Chief's story, so they're trying to do a different story instead of just based as you playing the one character.
Okay, but what was advertised was Hunt the Chief, that little series where it made it seem like you really are hunting down the Chief as Locke.
Well, I'm pretty sure everyone knew what was going to happen even before you played it.
Yeah, but I expected more to it rather than, we had a little scuffle... Now, if he calls upon me, I'll be his mate. It's cool.
Well, speaking of that scuffle, which was in a cutscene, I really enjoyed the cutscenes in this game.
Of course you did. They're done by Blur. Blur made great cinematics.
So they've also made Halo Wars cinematics, which are the best for their Spartan on Elite insanity.
Battles,
yep.
They've done a lot of good stuff.
However, it would have been nice for them to be a bit longer.
Would you say a lot of major events happen in cutscenes, Brian?
I think almost all developments happen in cutscenes. I don't remember a moment in Halo 5 that I've had in almost every other Halo game where you step out and feel alone in an alien landscape and basically just feel, right, I need to survive. That occurred in every other Halo game. It's the beauty of Halo. It's what other games fight to capture, and Halo 5 threw it away.
Well, the thing was, with this game, they were trying a different arc to that, because instead of copy and pasting that same situation over the previous games, they're trying something different.
Which fell flat in every single respect.
And it's not a copy and paste, though. So Halo 1 had the... Obviously, it was the first to do it. So the second level, when you step out into the ring, and you get this beautiful... What, for the time, was a rather large area, and you're getting it around a warthog. Halo 2 managed to find that, especially when you were playing as the Arbiter. So it was a very different experience in that moment. Halo 3 admittedly was a slightly different beast, but especially had its moments in High Charity. It had the familiar but unfamiliar and managed to just play with you in that. And it was, again, it was a beautiful way of throwing you into a situation you didn't understand. Reach nailed it with the final mission where it literally just said survive and you had the beautifully sad survive. Piano music. That's still the best moment in Halo.
However, you could actually not survive.
Well, that's the beauty of it.
That was the point.
Halo.
The whole point of Reach was... You fail.
Halo 4 managed to have it again with Requiem. But Halo 5 just bailed on it. And it was what made these games great. It's the central story element that made them survive.
Also saying none of the levels particularly are memorable as much as some of the older Halo missions are. Like, you think about the mall, like the big thing at the end. There was nothing... huge in this.
There is one level that's probably the most memorable, is the first mission with Blue Team.
In the snow? No, Blue Team on the ship.
On the ship, investigating what was going on.
See, even that to me felt like there was something that didn't feel right about it. It didn't, to think about it that way, I can't remember what actually happens. I remember the first level of Halo 4, because that was really cool to see this whole scene. I didn't even like Halo 4 all too much, but I remember something
as
about it.
As a ship got pulled into
the only things I remember from Halo 5 are the warden fights. And that's not a good thing to remember.
He's got a point. What was Blue Team actually doing on that ship before they worked out? So that's where they work out where Cortana is, correct?
Yes, in sort of like a knockout flashback situation.
Yeah.
Knockout flashback.
So let's... The one other major complaint I had with Halo 5 is... And I think I'm alone in this in the sense that Halo 3 was notorious for having the moments where Cortana flickered in and took over basically control of the game while you watched a little video of her saying random lines. That was one of my favorite elements of Halo 3, and I know I stand alone in that.
You might.
Halo 4 was building on the whole Chief Cortana relationship. She went... through hell between those two games, went full rampant and was trying to break herself back out of it. Halo 4 was promising that the plotline was going to be about trying to repair her or her descent. And Halo 5 bailed on that until the last second, and her descent no longer made sense.
Halo 5 really felt like the filler of Halo.
It's absolutely the filler. When you've got a film in three parts and you got to have the second bit to build up to the final.
Yeah, okay, for example, Empire Strikes Back.
Is
the best one. The Two Towers, really good movie. It's an example of a bad middle arc.
It really is.
That sets up something interesting, but the journey there between it wasn't that all that interesting.
Shit show. But Jordan, come on, so you've obviously got some other things in this game that you like. We've picked it apart. I feel like you should have the final say here and point out the elements you think save it.
The other bit I was going to say, yes, the campaign may have been a bit lackluster, but from where the campaign fell, multiplayer rose.
Okay.
For example, to start off, it was completely dedicated servers for all multiplayer games
Good
all
for them.
The time.
Yeah.
Compared to the previous one that they brought out, which is the Master Chief Collection, we all know how that went. That went downhill pretty quick.
Yeah, as opposed to 4 and Reach, which are incredibly stable, but go on.
Yeah. For people that really enjoy competitive multiplayer on Halo, this one sort of is a big seller for them. However, again, doing that sort of divides the community a bit more. I guess with the previous ones, you could say they're more fun. This one's more for competitive.
Don't do my job for me, mate.
I've got so much dirt to say.
Well, I guess one of the other problems was with the Warden that you were saying before. Yes, it may have been bad in the campaign, just recycling the same person. I think they were more basing the game around multiplayer with Warzone.
Okay. And
essentially their new Firefight and that type of thing. However, there's...
Can we rip into it now?
I lost it.
Okay, so...
multiplayer. Yeah, hold on. Let's just hold up because I'm going to need to edit a little bit there. But you go and then I'll go.
So what you're saying is the game really did focus on being a competitive shooter to get the esports and that going. That was really the whole point of it. And they added a whole lot of stuff to kind of chase the competition by adding like clamber, being able to, you jump to a ledge, you climb up it.
You feel more like a Spartan than just a regular soldier when you can climb around and ground punch and all
that. I'm not denying that makes you feel more of a Spartan, but it doesn't exactly help the multiplayer, which was already, I thought, good enough. When they're adding all this stuff that feels unnecessary, like aim down sights,
but
what is that's not necessary.
The difference with that though is, would you have preferred to just have a exact same thing of a previous game, or would you want them to try something different, whether it was good or bad?
Try something in the right path that takes what they learnt from the other games and continues to innovate and improve it. Adding all this stuff feels like they're just chasing what the competition had and not really the innovation that Halo might have been a long time ago, which it now is just chasing.
They slowed down and had to sidestep and borrow aspects from another game. That was the problem.
Okay, apart from the main multiplayer, I mean, it does have a social thing with like random and that, but let's talk about a good topic of the war zones. Not a good topic at all. I have so many. There's so many issues with Warzones.
I admit Warzone could have been better. I think, but I am eager to hear what you say.
The focus on the card packs. If you have to summon really good versions of vehicles, the game is subtly pay to win in a way. Because if someone plays a really good card, most of the time they are going to absolutely slaughter the other team because that's just how it will work.
More importantly, it made anything you did in the early game seem largely redundant until one team got a Scorpion tank. If it had just been the old style in the sense that they delayed how long it took for things to spawn, it would have actually been quite interesting. There would have been established tactics. But this was so chaotic, with not enough people on the map to actually benefit from the chaos.
It could have been implemented better. When I originally played this at EB Games Expo, like just before it released, the way that they had it set up was the more that you progress, you unlock these vehicles. There was nothing about cards. When I was playing like that, I thought, this is perfect. If you're going good, you will get good vehicles. But as soon as they put the cards into the mix, it ruined it. I would have preferred it how I played it before the game got
released.
That does
sound better, but thank you for helping us win this debate.
Alright, so obviously we could do this for hours. We have done this for hours in the past. I'm sure we'll do this for hours again in the future. But we might just leave that there. Halo 5 wasn't what we wanted. Most people I talked to, it also wasn't what they wanted. Multiplayer had some nice little bonuses to it. I actually quite like its free-for-all multiplayer a bit more than most of the others, just because of how ridiculously fast it is. But, yeah... if you're listening, 343, if we could take a step back for number 6, that'd be great. And that's probably all the time we've got on this show, so I'm going to wrap it up here. Thanks again, Jordan, for being our guest. You can bail out of Perth now. Mitch,
am I allowed to leave?
Well, no. It's up to Mitch, really. You can find more of us, hopefully you're listening to this, on the website optional-extra.com, or you can find us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/optional-extra. You also find us through your iTunes or Stitcher or streaming service of choice. There is YouTube content now being put out. Mitch, what have we got so far?
So far we've got the Necromancer from Diablo 3 play, little gameplay I did. We've got a little gameplay me and Jordan recorded of Human Fall Flat. We've got some Crash on the way, but that's about it.
So Mitch is going full YouTube streamer over there for us. Mitch and Russell from last week, and he'll be on next week, have also started their own weekly sort of sub-podcast of this, I guess we'll say, which I'm allowed on, by the way.
Are you?
Well, the opening to the previous episode says Brian will never be on this, so I'm coming on.
He's going to sneak in somewhere.
That's a quick wrap-up of games news of the week and what they've been playing and discussion topics.
Just a weekly little wrap-up of the week.
Quite specifically focused on gaming, whereas this show tends to meander. And we have another not weekly occasional show that Mitch and Jordan have pitched and released a first trial episode of called Screenshots. Where
Screenshot.
Screenshot, sorry. But if you release a second episode, it's plural.
True.
Where they talk through one specific TV show or movie, about 15 minutes, give you a full spoiler-laden opinion on it, let you know whether it was ever going to be worth your time.
Yep.
And that's all from us. So, oh, there's also, sorry, Russell also wrote a review. We're slowly getting some reviews up now on the site.
Hey, we're starting that. So, the first review is Little Nightmares.
So go check that out. Spoiler, he quite liked it, so I think we're highly recommending it. I'm certainly going to try and pick it up when I can. But I'm going to go play Doom now, so...
And Jordan's going to go play Crash.
Thank you very much for listening, everyone. I've been Brian Hayes. You've been amazing for listening to this. Do come back again. We won't talk to you. Bye!